Well, welcome everybody. I'm glad to be with you today. It's a great day to declare the goodness and the faithfulness of our God anew, to remember that He is good and His mercy endures forever. So Lord, would you come and meet us as we worship you wherever we're at. Listen, we've waited.
Cause we waited for this day. We've gathered in your name. We're calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth.
Would you do it, oh God, in our hearts?
Cause you're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing.
Open up.
Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart. You're filling every part of our prayer.
Your presence in this place.
Your presence. Your glory on our face. We're looking to the sky, descending like a cloud. You're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our
hearts. Oh, help us to see your presence, oh God.
You're the reason we're here.
You're the reason.
You're the reason we're singing.
Open up.
See you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart. You're feeling every part of our prayer.
Let's sing it again. Open up.
Yeah. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart. You're feeling every part of our.
Listen,
we
one king. You know these Christmas carols? They have so many verses, but they're so rich and they're so deep in theology because we declare, we sing the Christmas story, the fullness of the Christmas story. So I want to challenge you to, as we sing every verse of these songs, that you would open up your heart and allow God's word to become living and active, that you would be invited into the story of Christmas. So we have two more verses to go. Let's sing Hail the Heaven-Born Prince of Peace. We celebrate him.
Hail the Heaven-Born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Rise with healing in his wings. Mighty lay his glory by. Born and men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Heart the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king.
Oh, glory to the newborn king. Lord, continue to come to us even now. Be Emmanuel with us, our God with us. This is our prayer. Come, desire of nations, come. Let's sing this last verse.
And come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed. Bruising us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now we face. Stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above. Reinstate us in thy love. Hark the herald angels sing.
Well, the story of Christmas is such a powerful story because it's so real and so true. When we think about the coming of Jesus, sometimes it can be like a Pollyanna world, that everything is right with the world. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. But the problem is that's not what the Bible record tells us. The Bible tells us that Jesus comes in the midst of pain, of sorrow, and of suffering. And it's because of that reality that his coming is such great news and brings such tidings of great joy to us. So we're going to sing this Christmas carol, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And as we do so, I want you to receive, as if you're hearing for the first time, the peace and the good news that now you can rest, your souls can be at ease, because Emmanuel has come to be with us. So this is God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray.
Our Heavenly Father,
a blessed angel came.
said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of virtue, power, and might, to free all those who trust in Him from Satan's power and to the Lord sing praises. Our God is coming near to bring His peace and kingdom and fill our hearts with cheer. The darkness is now giving way to joy's unending light. Oh, Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and of heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or don't be afraid. We're going to do a song that we did several months ago. It talks about experiencing the peace of Christ that surpasses understanding. It goes like this.
You will stay true, even when the lies come. Your word remains truth, even when my thoughts don't line up. I will stand tall on each promise you made. Let the rest fade away.
You will stay true.
'Cause you will stay true, even in the chaos.
Thank you, Lord, for that promise.
Your word remains true, even when my mind wreaks havoc. I will be still, for I've known all along my Jehovah Shalom.
Here's the good news today. There's a peace far beyond all understanding.
There's a peace far beyond all understanding. May it ever set my heart at ease. Dear anxiety come, I'll remember that peace is a promise you keep. The peace is a promise you keep.
Sing that verse again. You will stay true.
You will stay true, even when the lies come. Your word remains true, even when my thoughts don't line up. I will stand tall on each promise you made. Let the rest fade away.
There's a peace.
There's a peace far beyond all understanding. May it ever set my heart at ease. What anxiety fails to remember, this peace is a promise you give. The peace is a promise you give.
You are peace.
You are peace to a restless soul. Your peace when my thoughts wage war. Your peace to the anxious heart. That's who you are. That's who you are.
You are peace.
You are peace. peace when I feel it grow. Your peace when I lose control. That's who you are. That's who you are.
I found peace.
I found peace far beyond all understanding. Let it flow when my mind's under siege. All anxiety bows in the presence of Jesus, the keeper of peace. And peace is a promise he gives.
Stand on that promise, all anxiety bows.
All anxiety bows in the presence of Jesus, the keeper of peace. And Jesus, a promise he keeps.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Well, glad you're with us worshiping together. My name is Albert. So grateful for this church family. Thank you, Alex and the musicians, for leading us in praise. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ultimate meaning of Christmas, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for the hope and the good news of the gospel for my life and for so many other people. Lord, I pray as we enter in this Christmas and Advent season, we would not only reflect upon your goodness, but we would be transformed ongoingly by the hope of Jesus Christ in our lives. I pray we would be light bearers, carrying this hope with us. Even in a year like no other, Lord, I pray that we would share about you and about the good news of Jesus. So thankful for this church family and thankful for this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, thank you again for joining us in worship and welcome to everyone, especially to our first-time visitors and guests. As I mentioned earlier, we are entering into the Advent season. So we're going to look back on Jesus' first coming when he was born as a baby. And we also look forward to his second coming. Join us in reading the scriptures as we reflect together. The Advent reading plan is available online now. Also, to celebrate Christmas, we're adding a Christmas Eve service on Thursday, December 24th, both online and outdoors at Village Christian School. Service times for our outdoor services will be determined later, so stay tuned. Thank you for your generosity and your ongoing giving. You can give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website by clicking on the Give tab. Thank you again. Well, lastly, I have some exciting news to share with you about an addition to our pastoral staff. We had been praying and searching for a new community life pastor for the past few months to work primarily with our Fusion 18 to 35-year-old community. And today, I'm excited to let you know that we have hired that person after a lengthy process. Before I bring him up so you can meet him, let me just tell you a few quick things about this person. He graduated from Life Pacific University with a degree in ministry and in leadership. He has much experience serving in the church, discipling and working with small group leaders, and also helping grow a ministry at a local church we respect. He also had a full-time job he had to work on the side too. Most of all, I've appreciated his passion for Jesus in discipling young adults, as well as his vulnerability. He loves Jesus and loves the local church, so I can't wait for you to meet him. Well, without further ado, let me introduce you to Jairo Fuentes, and let's hear a few words from him.
Hey, Christian Assembly. I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am for this next season of my life. I look forward to serving you. I look forward to working here and to the entire Fusion community. Just know I already love you. I look forward to serving you alongside with Bo, Lindsay, and the entire Fusion staff.
Well, thanks, Jairo, for sharing with us. I can't wait for the church to meet you. Church, will you join me in praying for Jairo Fuentes? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jairo Fuentes. We thank you for his salvation. We thank you for bringing him to Christian Assembly for such a time as this, for him to serve faithfully your bride, your church. We pray for Jairo to draw even closer to you in this season. May he abide in you. May he study, and may your words just saturate his life. And may out of the overflow of his intimacy with you, may his ministry bear much fruit for many, many years to come. Lord, we pray protection on him. And we pray, Father, Lord, as he transitions in, I pray for the church family, God, to welcome him with open arms, but also be praying for my brother in Christ as he pastors here at Christian Assembly. We thank you for Jairo Fuentes. We thank you for Christian Assembly. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Well, church, you'll get a chance to meet Jairo Fuentes. He officially starts on December 1st. So please keep praying for him. And thank you.
Well, hey, church family, it's Kingdom Weekend, where we take time once a month to highlight what God is doing through our church as we follow him on mission. This weekend, we have the honor to hear from our Kingdom partners, Doug and Sandy Shout, with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which reaches students on college campuses. Doug is the National Director of Evangelism, and Sandy does pastoral care for staff and leaders. Let's check out their exciting update together.
Greetings, CA. We are so happy to be here to thank you for all your love and support for us. Just as a family update, by the time you see this, our oldest son, Mark, will have been married on November 21st. Mark and Taylor are a CA couple. They met through CA Youth Group and really became friends at Hume. So thank you for the ways that you have invested in our kids and blessed them.
We're having an incredible, difficult 2020, but it's also been the most creative year of my life. In April, we declared there's a new unreached people group. It's the online people group, and we have spent the last 9 months recontextualizing the gospel to the online generation. And this is going to sound funny, but we have rediscovered our core calling. It's students. It's equipping college students and faculty as faithful and fruitful witnesses and lifelong, fully committed disciples of Jesus. And three quick stories of your impact, right? The walls are down during COVID. So number one is Cole. This guy's in Wyoming. I did a training for online witness, and he said, I hate Instagram. And it reminded me of me when I was an Oxy student. And he decided to go from 4 followers, and he started asking everybody what their prayer requests were. Today, 2 months later, he has 1,500 followers. He has 550 people on his prayer list, including South Africa, France, Asia. He's having this incredible impact. And when he told us about the guy in France that he's praying for, he started to cry because he's got the heart of Jesus. 2 months ago, he hated Instagram. Today, he's a fruitful witness. Then there's Brandy. We're teaching Brandy to be her most real self with intriguing posts on Instagram. And she's being real on Instagram. Her friends are following through her story. And then 24 of her peers responded and said, I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time or a recommitment. That's in Iowa. And then there's Christine, and she is at Middlebury. And Jesus in Luke 4 says, I have come to proclaim good news to the poor and set the captives free. This Luke 4 Jesus is bringing good news to all the freshmen at Middlebury. But not just that, the international students can't get back. So this Jesus from Luke 4 is impacting Africa, China, Europe. These are 22, 21, 19-year-olds who are like international missionaries because the walls are down and you're helping us reach the world through students.
Now, some of the students and staff, like Doug's describing, are thriving in the midst of this time. But some of those meeting with me for spiritual direction and care are struggling. They felt disappointed not being able to be in direct contact with the students, and they feel kind of lost. They're saying things like, oh, this isn't what I signed up to do, online ministry. They love that face-to-face contact. So I'm trying to help them see what God may still be teaching them and forming in them through these challenges.
We miss you, CA. We love you. Thanks for your prayer. And take a screenshot. Check out the great trainings that we're giving to these students and feel free to pass them on. They're badges. You can level up your badges. Have fun. Kelly from Utah told me recently, I wouldn't change anything about 2020 because God is using COVID to actually help us reach far more students than we did last year. That's God taking tragedy and turning it into gospel advance for the glory of God. Isn't that good news? Thanks, CA.
Thank you so much for your love.
We're so thankful for the Shalps and what they mean to our church family. They're pioneering such creative efforts to reach the lost during this time. And I want each of us to think about this question. What doors has COVID opened up to share your faith with others? Through these dark times, God's light can shine even brighter through us. As hard as this year has been, we're seeing that people are coming to faith, and we praise God for that. If you want to learn more about how to reach people in your own spheres of influence, Doug will be leading a seminar over Zoom called Relational Evangelism in a Pandemic. He'll train you how to relationally engage your non-Christian friends and family during this Christmas season in creative ways. This is happening December 12th from 10 to 11 a.m. on Zoom. You can register online at cachurch.com/kingdom. So I want to thank each of you for how we partner together in God's mission to both proclaim and demonstrate the good news of the gospel. And one of the ways that we do that is through giving to our kingdom offering, which supports all of our kingdom partnerships and efforts that go outside the walls of the church. You can give online or on our CA app and make sure to select the kingdom offering tab. Our giving matters and is having tremendous impact. Thanks so much for the way we link arms in God's mission together.
Well, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. The challenges of this year have amplified my thankfulness for Christian Assembly, and I want to tell you how thankful I am that you are my church family. Have you ever found yourself in a situation that was better than you knew you deserved, better than you expected? A few years ago, Lindsay and I took our kids to Disneyland for the day, and we had heard about a new show that they had put together there called The World of Color. You may have heard about this. Maybe you've seen it as well over at California Adventure. It was this lights and water show where they would spray all of these elaborate fountains in the air and then project by light images on the water with music. And it was all very Disney, big production. And it was a really big deal. It was such a big deal that we had heard that people needed to, you had to show up 30 minutes before the park even opened, at least 30 minutes before the park opened, in order to get a pass to see the show. Well, Lindsay and I had heard about that, and we went to Disneyland with our kids this one particular day. But to be real honest, I wasn't so inspired by The World of Color that I was going to show up and stand in another line just to get into a place where you spend so much time standing in line. And so I passed up the chance to get passes to The World of Color. Well, we went on with the day and we had a really good time. But around 2 o'clock in the afternoon at California Adventure, we noticed that ropes were starting to go up. The World of Color began at 6 o'clock, and already at 2 o'clock, they were roping off the area where the audience would be to get a view of this production. And you could tell by where the ropes were that if you were not inside, you were not going to get a good view of this. That's why those passes were so important. Well, the kids start to see this, and Lindsay sees this happening, and they start wishing that Dad had gotten those passes for them. And I start feeling like, man, I should have gotten those passes. I should have shown up early and stood in the line and gotten the passes, but I hadn't. We were going to miss the show. And so I decided, I saw a Disney employee setting up the ropes, and I just decided, you know, I'm just going to ask about this. So I went over to the employee and I asked, I said, is there any way to get into this, to see the show? How do you get to see this? How do you get on the inside? And she said, well, you got to have a pass. And I said, is there any way to get a pass now before the show starts? And she said, not today. No, you'd have to get here early, yada, yada, yada. And so I could have just walked away at that point, but I was determined to press in just a little further. And I said to her, is there any possible way at this point that my family and I could somehow get into this show today without a pass? I knew that was a silly question to ask until the employee paused and she kind of looked around to see if anybody was in distance to hear what she was going to say. And then she said to me, I tell you what, if you come back at 5:30, that's 30 minutes before the show, I'll have a place saved for you and your family on the bridge. It's the best seat in the house. It's got the best view. And you just come find me and I'll get you in there. Honest, that this is what happened. We went, had a great time. We came back 30 minutes before the show. We were ushered to our little spot on the bridge and we watched the world of color. It was amazing. We didn't deserve that, but we were ushered to a place that we didn't deserve to be. There's nothing like receiving a gift you don't deserve. And the Bible calls that grace. We've been examining Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's gospel, and we've been looking for what Jesus tells us about life with him. And we find that grace is a fundamental quality of all that God offers us through Jesus. Jesus' invitation to life with him begins with grace. That's why he began his Sermon on the Mount saying, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Congratulations if you know that you ain't all that in a bag of chips. Congratulations if you realize that you're in desperate need for God's help. If you recognize that you're spiritually bankrupt, then you have a blessing with your name on it that you don't deserve. And it's life with Jesus in God's kingdom. That's how Jesus starts his Sermon on the Mount. But we're now coming close to the end of his sermon. And if Jesus were preaching this Sermon on the Mount at Christian Assembly, this is where he'd probably call for the worship leader to join him. Now, next week, we're going to get to the very end, but I think the soft guitar music would probably start to be heard right around this point where we are this week. Jesus begins to make his closing remarks about this life that he calls us to live with him. This life that begins by grace. And he says this in Matthew 7:7-14. Jesus says, keep asking and it'll be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it'll be opened. Or which one of you, Jesus says, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you, then, who are evil, who lack righteousness, you who are deficient of God's goodness, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And Jesus goes on to say, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For that is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. As he begins to wrap up his sermon, here's what Jesus wants us to know. This life that begins by grace can only be sustained by grace. And Jesus points out for us three ways that we live with him in the sustaining grace of God. And I want you to see those three ways. First, life with Jesus in God's sustaining grace is a life of active and ongoing faith. Second, this life in God's sustaining grace is demonstrated in how we treat one another. And third, it's a life in which we decide to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. So here's what I want us to do with God's word today. I want to ask you to take a self-assessment with me. How are you doing at living with Jesus in God's sustaining grace? So first, let's look at faith. How are you doing at living with an active and ongoing faith? Because life with Jesus is not a religious act you perform once in your past. It is active and it is ongoing. For all that God offers us in life with Jesus, we have to keep believing, keep trusting, keep our faith active. Jesus says, you got to keep asking. My prayers have changed over time, and so I keep asking. My desires and goals have changed as I keep seeking God's way of life. My ambitions and definitions of success have changed as I keep knocking on more opportunities to witness the light of God's glory and love in my life. What started for me by grace will have to be sustained by grace. And that's true for you in life with Jesus. There's more to this life. And so we've got to keep living with active and ongoing faith. Sustaining grace means that you and I ain't seen nothing yet. What began by grace is going to be sustained by grace. Just wait and see what more God's grace can accomplish in your life. Life is going to be full of surprises, and so we got to keep asking. When you don't know what to do, keep seeking. When you don't understand why, keep knocking. When you're filled with gratitude, keep asking. When you know you've seen the goodness of God, keep seeking. When God has been so faithful, keep knocking. Don't stop. When you win and when you lose, look for God's sustaining grace. When you're full and when you're empty, seek more of what God has for you. When you think you're through or you're just getting started, keep knocking. Live with active and ongoing faith. Sometimes I don't get what I ask for. Sometimes I seek an outcome that doesn't materialize. Sometimes I knock on doors that don't open. Sometimes for me, to keep asking means I have to trust the Lord more. Sometimes to keep seeking, I have to ask for patience and perseverance. Sometimes to keep knocking, I have to keep seeking new doors to knock on. I'll have to ask God to help me know what to ask for, what to seek, what to knock on. But Jesus tells me, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because this is an ongoing and active life of faith. There's more to this life. You ain't seen nothing yet. Any ordinary father wants to provide for his kids. And so just think of how much more our God, our Heavenly Father, wants to give to anyone who asks. This is faith that keeps believing that there's a place for you, there's a purpose for you, there's grace for you, and it is all from the Father who wants to give to those who ask. You ain't seen nothing yet, so how are you doing at keeping your faith active? That's the first way to live with Jesus in God's sustaining grace. And here's the second question. How are you doing at demonstrating God's grace to one another? Notice the example that Jesus uses to illustrate what he's saying. He says, if your child asks for bread and fish, you're going to do what needs to be done. You're going to put forth the necessary effort to provide bread and food for your child. You're not going to give your child a stone. It's useless. You're not going to give your child a snake because that would be dangerous. You know how to do what needs to be done in order to provide for your family, right? Now think about God's willingness to do whatever needs to be done to give good gifts to those who ask. Watch what Jesus does with this. He takes this truth about God's sustaining grace and turns it outward in our actions toward others. Jesus tells us in verse 12, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this, he says, this is the law and the prophets. He says, this is the whole Old Testament. This is the whole kit and caboodle of what God has been wanting to accomplish. God's mission in this world has never changed. It has only expanded to include people of every tongue, tribe, and nation throughout every generation being called to demonstrate the grace of God in this world and to one another. We demonstrate what is available to anyone in life with Jesus as we treat one another the way that we want to be treated. We who are children of God, we who are citizens of the kingdom of God, the way that we want to be treated. This is the salt with which we flavor life so that others might taste the goodness of God. This is the light that we shine in a dark world so that others might find their way to that great city of light. Life with Jesus in God's kingdom, it can so easily sound like pie in the sky, but this, how we treat one another with God's grace, this is how we serve that pie to one another. This is how we make life with Jesus real and tangible and practical, knowing your need for grace. Are you giving grace? Knowing your own need for patience, how are you doing at being patient with others? If you know that you have to pray and I have to pray like MC Hammer, we've got to pray just to make it today. If we've got to pray that way, how are we doing at praying for others? You know that you want to be loved. I know that I want to be loved. So how are we doing at loving others? How are you doing at demonstrating to others the sustaining grace of God? Because this life with Jesus, it begins by grace. It can only be sustained by grace. That's what's offered to you. And we can demonstrate it to others and how we treat them. And finally, I want to ask you, how are you doing at holding steady in your decision to follow Jesus wherever he leads? Because Jesus calls, he calls this assessment the narrow gate versus the broad gate. And when everyone we know is believing and talking and living in scattered directions, are we trusting Jesus to lead us in his way? Listen to how Jesus says this. He says in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, this life with Jesus. And those who find it are few." The imagery is so simple. Here's this broad gate. It's the easy way that we all know this way. It's life apart from Jesus. It's easy because it's easy to live ungrateful. It's easy to be selfish and easy to be irritable. It's easy to expect that others should think like me and to write off those who don't. It's easy to criticize and pass judgment without dealing with my own issues and shortcomings. That's the easy road through the broad gate because it's the natural tendency for all of us to just wander through that way. We really don't even need help to find that way of life. We find it all on our own. We know that wide and easy way through the broad gate. We know it because we've all been there. To get through the broad gate, you have no need really for God, unless God will give you what you want. Otherwise, to acknowledge God in life is to simply acknowledge demands that you don't want to be bothered by. That's the wide road. That's the easy road. That's the broad gate. On this wide way of life, we'll always want more and we'll always want different. And there are always others who seem to be doing better than us and are happier than us. This is the common ordinary way with a broad gate that we've all walked through only to find time after time a lingering dissatisfaction on the other side. But what is this narrow gate? Well, Jesus says it's not obvious. You can't find it by yourself. In fact, you'll only find that narrow gate with God's help. And if that sounds crazy, well, it's because you'll only enter through that way by faith. It's the way in to life in God's kingdom that Jesus talked about. He called it a narrow gate, and he uses this word for narrow. This is a rich word in the Greek. It's a word that actually means a compressed space. He said, you have to squeeze through this opening one at a time. There will be some stuff you have to leave behind because it's not going to fit through this way. You have to come empty-handed through this way, clinging to nothing but faith in the one who opens this way for us. Life through the narrow gate will require God's sustaining grace because we have to press into this life with Jesus, determined to follow him wherever he leads us. There is no other way. Those who spoke of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, they spoke about a life that was not possible. It could not be found apart from Jesus. But with Jesus, they said, oh, anything is possible. That's why they were convinced in Acts 4. They said, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. This is why Jesus alone could say, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It's a narrow gate. And in John's gospel, Jesus says, yes, I am the gate. And those who come in through me will be saved. Life in God's sustaining grace is lived with a decision to follow Jesus wherever he leads. It's to press in to that life. It's to press in by faith and to trust him. How are you doing at holding firm to the decision to trust and follow Jesus? How are you doing at pressing in to life with him wherever he leads? God wants nothing to separate us from him. And so Jesus came to give us life in God's sustaining grace. He said, just trust him, and he's got you covered. Your sins are paid for. Though your life has been stained by sin, Jesus will make you clean as untouched snow. He'll put the Spirit in you and give you new life. In our weakness, he will be strong. Trust him, and by grace, he'll lead you into a different way of life. Like that old song, you just ain't seen nothing yet. Only that song that says that, it ends saying, I still ain't seen nothing yet. And without Jesus, you won't see life in the kingdom of God. But with Jesus, a way of life is open to us. And in life with him, there is more to receive. There is more to seek and find. There are doors you don't even know about yet to knock on. There is a common and ordinary wide road of life that never satisfies. But there's another way when we press into life with Jesus. And friends, in God's sustaining grace, you and I ain't seen nothing yet. And I want to invite you, would you press in to that life with me? It's not always easy because we got to trust Jesus to find it. We got to push against the crowd sometimes. Sometimes he's going to lead us in an uncommon way. But will you press in with me? For those of you who maybe have never decided to follow Jesus, would you open your heart to him today and say, I want to live by faith. I want to ask what God has for me. I want to seek and find what Jesus has done for me. I want to knock on the door of heaven and ask God, what do you have for me in this life and in eternity? And if you have never begun to open your life by faith to him, you can do it right now. And I want to pray for you. And those of you who have been following Jesus, press on. Press on and keep asking and keep knocking and keep seeking, because as we do that and as we live determined to follow Jesus, that's how we're going to demonstrate to all those around us that there is a way of life that begins only by the grace of God, and it is sustained by the riches of God's grace for all who call on the name of the Lord. And so let's pray together and ask him to help us to live that life of sustaining grace with him. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do ask, Father, and we seek and we knock for you to lead us in life. And for those who have never put their faith in you, Lord, would you hear them and receive their prayers as they just say to you, receive me. Lord, I want to trust you. I want to trust that you have another way of life for me. Another way that is found through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and through the resurrection from the dead, that there is a power of new life offered to us by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, for those who are opening their hearts to you with faith, would you fill their lives with your Holy Spirit and lead them in this life. And God, for all of my friends, all of my church family, and for those who are committed to following you, God, I pray that you strengthen our faith. You make us bold to be people who ask and seek and knock. And would you be glorified through us so that this world would know that you love them and that you have opened a way for all who would believe. We want to be that kind of people. We want to be that kind of church because, God, you are that kind of Lord. You are that kind of Savior. And we trust you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say together, amen. God bless you. Let's sing one final song together.
Let's sing, let us pray. Let us pray, let us pray. Pray by faith in Jesus' name, as His Spirit gives us aid. Let us pray in our triumph, in our pain, in our loss and in our gain. Let His glory be proclaimed. Let us pray.
Let's sing again. Let us pray.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Pray by faith in Jesus' name, as His Spirit gives us aid. Let us pray.
Thank you again for being with us today online. It is a pure joy to get to worship together. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, let us know so we can have a pastor follow up with you. Email us at the address below or text DECISION to the number 52855. Now let me close with this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace, now and forever, and to you and your family for generations upon generations. God bless you, CA. See you next week.